As a first-time mom, I have to admit, I really didn't know what to expect. But the people at Passport did. Besides covering me and my baby for maternity care and checkups, they offered me extra rewards for things I really needed, like gift cards so I could buy a crib or car seat, and gift cards for groceries and gas. All I had to do to earn these rewards was join their Mommy Steps program for new moms and keep my doctor's appointments, things I was going to do anyway. When they say, "We take the time to care," they really mean it. That's why I choose Passport.
Why will you choose Passport? Call 1-800-578-0603. That's 1-800-578-0603. And choose Passport. 1-800-578-0603. Passport Health Plan. We take the time to care.
Opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production.
Robbing and shooting and raping and killing. Bloody murder, molesting. Running airplanes into buildings. Every time I turn around.
Welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am podcast network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now. So here's Rick.
Happy New Year, I guess I should say, as we celebrate the start of 2015 on the Rusty Satellite Show, the home of the most interesting people in the Ville. This is your host, Rick Redding. Finished all of 2014, didn't miss a week. We had a lot of great shows, met a lot of great people here on the Rusty Satellite Show. This week, I have some really special guests to introduce you to on the show, including one. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you that in the second half of the show, we're going to meet my son, known as Nike Redding, who is lives in New Orleans and came up with the whole idea. At least he came up with the name Rusty Satellite, and he'll explain that for you. So hope you can tune in and stay tuned for the second half of the show. That's going to be great. And I want to tell you just a few things. If I sound funny, I am full of nitrous oxide and Novocaine. Believe it or not, I went to the dentist today and just had a nice 3 hours in the chair. So That's tough. But, you know, my dentist is Dr. Sean Moore at Moore Smiles on Taylorsville Road. He's really great. I really like him. That nitrous oxide is really, it's really good stuff. If you haven't had it before, when you go to the dentist, been off from work this week. And, earlier on Monday, I had a colonoscopy, which is something all us men are supposed to do, once when we turn 50. I didn't quite make it then. I'm a little bit late, but had my colonoscopy, and, that was all good and clean bill of health. So I'm moving into 2015 on a high physically and mentally, and everything's going great. Let's get started with the show. I'm going to introduce you to my first guest. It's Denny Humphrey. He owns and operates the Monkey Wrench down in the Highlands. It's a great place. If you haven't been there, you should go. You never know who you're going to meet at the Monkey Wrench. Denny is going through some changes down there, very positive changes in terms of the food that's being served. And, you know, he just has a lot of entertainment down there. He knows a lot of people. He's very well connected. The Monkey Wrench down on Baxter Avenue. So, anyway, let's get right into it. Here's my interview with Denny Humphrey. And today, the Rusty Satellite Show is in one of the coolest places in town, the Monkey Wrench, down on Baxter Avenue. I'm with Denny Humphrey. Denny, welcome to the show.
Hey, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And, you know, it's hard to believe you've been here 10 years now. Coming this March, you got an anniversary coming up. Mm-hmm. It's quite a, you know, how would you describe the Monkey Wrench?
Well, I would say that we're just an outlet for a lot of different people in the arts industry, whether it's musicians, artists, vocalists, and culinary. We've been an outlet for quite a few talented people throughout the years. And for me, just being a part of this neighborhood for as long as I've been and getting a chance to live my dream, which has always been to have a small mom and pop place like the Monkey Wrench, it's just been a blessing.
Yeah, well, it's certainly cool. And let's get back. We'll get back to what's going on here in a second. But I want to ask you about yourself. I know we both went to Western Kentucky University, but you know, certainly we've taken different paths out of there. What got you to this place?
Well, I think as I look back through my past and look at my grandfather's and my family, ultimately it's always been in my blood. My dad's side of the family is from Hardin County, and I come from a bloodline of bootleggers. The grandfather did it, the great-grandfather did it, the uncles did it, and the cousins did it.
Wow.
I always joke with those guys nowadays and say I'm the first one to ever do it legally.
So I think right. You're
something.
Legit.
The pictures on the wall here show my grandfather and my family's upbringing. And a year ago when we went through, we kind of remodeled the place, and I kind of patterned it after a lot of my family influence. But it's always been in my blood. And when I found Western Kentucky, I worked at a little beer joint down there called Baker Street Cafe, and I just knew it then. I knew I wanted to be a part of the energy of the city, whether it be Bowling Green or Louisville.
Right. And I tell you, there is a lot of – I mean, we were just talking about there's a lot of energy in this town in terms of a lot of restaurants come, some go. To survive 10 years is in itself an accomplishment, but you seem to have found your niche.
Yeah, my niche is the people around me. I don't know, you could have called it anything you wanted, but the heart and the passion of the people that come through the doors, like I'm only here because of the neighborhood and the people in it. I could not have survived without all the support of all my people, and they're more of my family than sometimes even my family. Sorry about that, you guys. But they see me a lot more than my mom does.
Well, I know it's a lot of hours and it's a lot going on. Tell me, now there are some changes taking place here right now.
Yep.
And it's big. It's still going to be the same kind of place, but tell me about what's new.
Well, what's new is I'm partnered up with Matt Davis of Little Cheesers, and it's been something in my mind for the last couple years of bringing some people in. I brought in Dustin Staggers last year, and he helped me elevate Monkey Wrench on a status of food that, you know, we're really proud of, and I'm very proud of him and what he's accomplished with Brew and Rumplings and the next ventures. But I also realized that we were kind of going away from that neighborhood feel at that point and having a little bit price points that were higher than I'd ever done around. And I really think that coming back to our roots of the original pub fair kind of neighborhood friendly place, whether you're watching the Louisville game or whether you're watching a great band, I just think the menu that Matt has to offer is a little more up to our speed.
Okay. And like it's interesting with Matt because he was just here. We were talking to him. You know, I think a lot of people think of him as a food truck.
Yes, without a doubt.
And
I'll tell you one thing about
how that's going to work.
I'll tell you one thing about these guys. And the idea of it was to essentially create a food truck concept, some street style food inside of Monkey Wrench, no different than you would walk to the food truck, only they'll have a better, more of expandable menu. But the ideal of the concept is when you walk in, you'll walk to the window, the food truck window, order your food, and we'll bring it out to the tables. Kind of cutting a step of service out of it. Monkey Wrench is always known for some great food, but it's also that kind of a friendly place that if we know you more, then it seems that sometimes you get a little bit more attention than the regular person come through the door, and I don't like that because then we kind of get caught up in that where the service wasn't great, but the food was great. I'm trying to maybe bring that down to more of a friendly atmosphere to eliminate some of that feedback. Just for our purposes as well.
Okay. Well, I know you have a lot of great entertainment here, and you know, some people pass by here. It's a heavy traffic corner, you see it and you think, well, there's just a bar. But you've had some really good acts in here. Tell me about some of the
I've had the fortunate luck of having the greats through here, whether it be Tim Kreckles. I've had the Love Joneses through the doors. I've had the Galoots through the doors and the Java Men through the doors. And those of you guys who know music out there, those are some of the older forefathers of what's happened in this music scene the last 10 years has opened the doors for the My Morning Jackets and the greater bands that are in the city that we know. And on top of that, just being able to host the Gonzo Fest that we do now, bringing awareness to Hunter S. Thompson and knowing that he's a local from Louisville and the impact he's had on our society and civilization as a writer. We've had numerous events for charities throughout the years. We've done.
But let me focus on that. The Gonzo Fest. This is the HQ for the whole Gonzo Fest thing.
Sure is.
That maybe a lot of people don't know about, but. What's that like? How many people are involved in that?
Last year, now we've got a team of about 8 volunteers. We do it for the love. It's for a not-for-profit for the Gonzo Foundation. And I partnered up with Ron Whitehead some years ago when we decided to – I had gotten a court battle with CBS Corporation over a couple billboard signs out here in my parking lot, and we won and got it cut down. So we thought, hey, let's put a statue of Hunter S. Thompson out there. So we threw a couple parties in the parking lot. Then I quickly realized it's a bigger thing than Monkey Ranch. Gonzo Fest is a Louisville thing. It's not a Monkey Ranch thing.
Right.
Last year we moved it downtown. This year we're hoping to move it to Harbor Lawn. But there's 8 or 10 people on a committee that we just kind of pull together and throw an event. We always do it by the seat of our pants. And over the years, we've went from 200 person festival. Last year we broke 1,000, and we hope to break 5,000 this year.
And of course, it goes to all events around town. But do you have a connection to Hunter, or is it
none other than just, you know, growing up? And that's the first one of the first novels you read, you know, or when you read Fear and Loathing, it's generally high school, and you just kind of think, wow, that's kind of crazy. And then as you go through and find out more of what he was about, it was just the connection and knowing he's from my neighborhood. It was a true connection. Once I realized that, and that was, you know, that was almost towards the end of my college career that I realized Hunter was even in from the Highlands.
Right. I guess you'd read his stuff or heard about him before you hear.
He's
from Louisville too.
Yeah.
I've got I know people that, you know, knew him when he was a kid and all that here.
It's interesting to hear all the stories of him through the mouths of others that knew. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
They come
out
the woodworks.
Now, is your neighborhood? I mean, you grew up here, or in,
I actually grew up.
County?
I was born in Okolona. I was born almost in Maryville, practically Maryville. I was real close to going to Bullock County Schools, and at 13, my mom moved me over to the east side of town, and then ultimately my uncle swooped in to help a single mom out and the only kid, and he became a father figure, and I moved out to Eastwood. So I'm south end to east end, and then I found my soul in Bowling Green.
all around good thing. It sounds very interesting. What is your now, for people that, you know, maybe in the east end who don't come down here, what kind of crowd you attract in here?
It's the most diverse crowd I've seen in the city. You know, if we choose to do bluegrass, I've got, you know, a lot of bluegrass followers and faithfuls, and the ages range well into your 60s. If I do hip-hop, then I've got more of a younger dance generation. We've done numerous events with the gay community. We pretty much have any facet of life the Monkey Ranch has to offer. And one of the unique things about it, especially in the summer with the rooftop open, you just never know what you're getting into. And
right.
I think there's a crew of people that decide, let's go to Monkey Ranch and see what they're going on tonight. they're interested to see what we have going.
I know. I need to do that more often. That seems like the thing. But another aspect that I, you know, and unfortunately I haven't done it yet, but I'm determined to now. The Sunday brunch is a staple here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about what
else. Basically, it's a country breakfast. Steve Cooley and Mike Schroeder play. Steve plays a banjo. Mike plays a mandolin, and they just play some old fiddle tunes. And it's a pretty 5 to 7 item brunch menu. All your traditional favorites. Matt and the Little Cheesers guys are coming in. They're not going to switch it up too much. They're going to have a couple other fun additions of their own style to the brunch. But we still, it's 10 to 2 on Sundays, and the music runs from 11 to 1.
Wow.
The Bluegrass Brunch.
Sounds cool. Well, you know, certainly it's an iconic place now. You know, here, that only 10 years old. I for some reason I had it in my mind that it'd been here longer, but
it feels like it.
I'm sure it does to you. But it's just what a cool place.
It's a privilege for us. The town's changing. There's a lot of new stuff coming. We open arm embrace it. I'm excited about where Louisville's headed. But we also, for us, have been here for a time. It's we like to keep you in we like to stay in your ears. There's the new ones, but don't forget about the ones that are over here.
That's right. Well, I'll certainly be back, Denny, and I appreciate you spending a little time with me. Let's look forward to a happy and prosperous 2015.
I appreciate you, Rick. March 14th.
As a first-time mom, I have to admit, I really didn't know what to expect. But the people at Passport did. Besides covering me and my baby for maternity care and checkups, They offered me extra rewards for things I really needed, like gift cards so I could buy a crib or car seat, and gift cards for groceries and gas. All I had to do to earn these rewards was join their Mommy Steps program for new moms and keep my doctor's appointments, things I was going to do anyway. When they say, "We take the time to care," they really mean it. That's why I choose Passport.
Why will you choose Passport? Call 1-800-578-0603. That's 1-800-578-0603. And choose Passport. 1-800-578-0603. Passport Health Plan. We take the time to care.
And thanks to Denny Humphrey. I'm sure that on New Year's Eve, Denny and the gang down at Monkey Ranch had a big time. I'm actually recording this on New Year's Eve, and you're hearing it on New Year's Day or later. So anyway, the timing is a little off and all that. But Happy New Year to you as the Rusty Satellite Show heads into 2015. And you know, I love this time of year. Number one, there's a lot of free time, a lot of time to absorb culture. And that's what I've been doing. I just want to tell you about a few things I've been interested in and reading or listening to. While I was at the dentist today, as a matter of fact, I finished up this book. It was like 17 hours worth of listening. I've discovered how to listen to audiobooks. And in the dentist chair, I was listening to the end of the this book I've been listening to, The Innovators by Walter Isaacson. He's the guy who wrote the biography of Steve Jobs. He's a very good writer. And just fascinating to me, the book goes through how a lot of the things that we've come to use in our daily lives got started, going back really to the 1800s with technology and how it all started, the story of technology and the people who really came up with this whole idea of computers and the internet and how all this stuff got started. Some of it has happened, you know, a lot of it has happened in my lifetime. Some of the people in the book, the last part of the book was about the founders of Google and how that whole thing got started. And you know, the ideas behind the technology that we take for granted today, well, it's just a little fascinating for me. Also in culture, I want to tell you, there's been a lot of controversy in the country about the Seth Rogen, James Franco movie, The Interview. A lot of people were talking about that. I went out to see it last week at the Village 8, and I tell you, the movie is silly. It is just downright sort of goofy, and just like other Seth Rogen movies, like Knocked Up and Pineapple Express, and what makes it even more odd, I guess, in my mind, is that this silly movie is the center of the controversy over Sony and the North Koreans, and you know, basically, we just went and made fun of somebody. It's like the whole movie may be like a Saturday Night Live skit in which, you know, you take the you know, absurd parts of the news and you sort of make fun of it. And what's so the North Koreans just apparently can't take a joke if they really perpetrated the Sony hacking. There's some question about that. I don't know. But if you like silly Seth Rogen movies, I would say go see The Interview. That's basically what you're going to get. It's not on a level of seriousness that the national headlines have led you to believe. So anyway, that's something that is going on in the world that you can be aware of. I tell you that what this year, I look back over 2014, I look at the way technology has changed things. We really don't watch television differently. At least I do. The whole thing is different. Of course, last Christmas I got a new Kindle, and I have since discovered Amazon Prime, which is a great thing. Because you get access to all these movies and all this music, and it's just you really pick and choose. I've binged watched several series that are, believe it or not, produced by Amazon. Believe it or not, this one Alpha House is a comedy with John Goodman in it. It's about four Republican senators sharing a house in D.C. and you know that's hilarious. I just now finished watching a series called Mozart in the Jungle, which is you know the common theme here is that they're also well produced and well written. Mozart in the Jungle is about a maestro at the New York Metropolitan Opera, I believe it is, and some of the drama around what goes on in his life. I I also watched that, you know, we're starting to hear about annual nominations for awards for TV, and like there's this series Transparent that that was on Amazon Prime, and it was just really good. And so you can watch, you know, I've been watching these on my Kindle for, you know, you watch 10 episodes whenever you get a chance to stop and do it. And so I've been reading books that way. So the technology that's changed my life, I'm sure it's changing yours in a similar way. I did actually read a book over an actual sit down book I got for Christmas, book, an author I know named Richard Ford, called Let Me Be Frank With You. It was about the aftermath. It's fictional, but it's the aftermath of Hurricane Sandy and how it affects a few people, a community up there in New Jersey. So there's just so many, I guess the point is there's so many ways to absorb culture. There's so many movies available to watch, you know, for me through Amazon Prime, but there's, you know, every way but watching it on TV. I mean, I can't hardly bear to watch anything that has commercials in it. It just seems that our society now, everything is different in the way we consume culture. So there you go. That's what I have to say about that. Now, on a little bit of news, you know, cover some sports. Let's wrap up the football season. Watched the bowl game last night, the Belk Bowl, with U of L losing to Georgia 37-14. You know, they're watching the game, I think they're like right on the verge, but it tells me how important the quarterback position is in football, because, you know, U of L just never got, none of the quarterbacks that Louisville put on the field this year were capable of hitting their targets and leading their teams and doing the things that really good quarterbacks do. And you know, that's what it's all about. And Bobby Petrino, great coach that he is, he's got to have a really good quarterback to run his offense. And you know, along those lines, if you watched on Christmas Eve the Bahamas Bowl, what a game that was. Western Kentucky against Central Michigan. Paula, my girlfriend's alma mater, we watched this game, and it was like a blowout. Western was up like 42-14. It was over, and then we left and came back, and there it is, Central Michigan's catching up. But the records set by the offense, I watched Western's offense, and I'm thinking, why can't Louisville run something like that? But the key is they've got a good accurate quarterback who can make things happen. So anyway, if you didn't see that game, there was 1 second left. Central Michigan was down by 7, and they had the ball on their own 25-yard line, and this incredible play of the year play. Central Michigan threw the ball about 40 yards in the air. A guy caught it. He lateraled it. There were 3 subsequent laterals, and the guy just barely hit the pylon for the touchdown, and left him 1 point behind, and the Central Michigan elected to go for 2, and they didn't get it. So Western wins. Very exciting game, 49-48. So a lot of momentum going into next year. Just can't, you know, the popularity of college football around here is going to increase, I think, as we get ready for that. And of course, the basketball season is underway. You know, let's recap the U of L UK game. UK was pretty much as expected, dominant. It was amazing. The point spread was 7.5. They won by 8. UK was pushed, and they are an incredible team. They were pushed, but I think U of L's got a really good team too, and they will likely meet again as we go. We're getting ready for an exciting thing in Louisville. The Atlantic Coast Conference season is upon us, and so we're going to see a lot of new teams in here that we haven't seen before, and it's going to be a very exciting time at the Yum Center as we move into the sports season in 2015. All right, and as you're looking ahead at 2015, I want to talk about one other thing, which is you know, you've got to be looking at resolutions or things you want to do for next year. I certainly am looking ahead. And in 2014, I was optimistic. Here's one of the things about me. If you've been around me ever, I seem to change jobs or houses or girlfriends every year. And I'm happy to say in 2014, I only changed one of those. I bought a new house in the summertime, and Discover, we're talking about technologies. I moved in. Paula lives right down the street in Airbnb, which is an online hotel option for people who don't want to stay in hotels. If you want to stay in a house, and I've got some people staying in my house right now, making good money on Airbnb. Very happy with it. You can learn all about it if you go to the RustySatelliteShow.com site. There's an ad for it on there. So that's something positive I did. My work life is going great. I certainly hope it continues. I have some great plans for the Rusty Satellite Show. It's become a thing. It's really become a thing. I looked at my download stats the other day. They continue to grow. A lot of people are listening, and we pick up new and interesting guests every year. I've already got some planned for next for the first part of 2015. It's going to be really good, and which leads me into. As we're talking about the Rusty Satellite Show, I often get asked, where does that crazy name come from? And well, it comes from my son, Nick. And Nick is 24 now. He lives in New Orleans, and he is in the performing arts. He writes plays. He acts. He's a very artistic young man. He's very colorful, and I'm really proud of him. And I learned this time home that he's started to make money as a, believe it or not, tarot card reader. So you'll hear from Nick about that as we go over. But I thought while he was home for Christmas, I would have the original Rusty Satellite on the Rusty Satellite Show. And here is our conversation. And today the Rusty Satellite Show is pleased to have a very special guest, my son, Nick, also known as Nike Redding. Nick, welcome to be on the show.
Hi. How's it going?
It's going great. Now, as I travel around this town, a lot of people are familiar with Rusty Satellite Show, and they ask me, where did you come up with that name? And I always credit you, but I'd like to hear from you, I'm sure our listeners would, about how you came up with that name.
It was my alias in high school. I was really into glam rock and wearing a knee-high black leather boots with platform heels and fishnets and all that kind of stuff. So where the name actually came from is a trade secret, actually. But
oh, okay. Well, I know I'm violating copyright and all that, but I do pay you royalties. So anyway, you're getting something out of creating the name.
Yeah.
So now you live in New Orleans. I'm sure. You went out west, got a college degree, and tell us a little bit about what you're doing in New Orleans.
In New Orleans, I just did we have a Fringe Festival down there, which is it's sort of a national, actually international, theater festival that happens. This year, it was a record-breaking Fringe Festival in New Orleans. We had 82 different shows, and my show, Dithyrambos, was one of them. It's a combination of a lot of different movement genres, including ballet and mime and clowning and dance. And it was a huge success, actually.
Okay. So you were the essentially writer, producer of this production.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
And people came and I guess you performed it several times?
Yeah, we did 12 different performances in the span of... Wednesday, Thursday, in the span of 5 days. So
okay.
It was pretty intense.
And now you're. I know that was a big accomplishment, but now you're moving on. What's next for you?
I'm looking towards grad school in Europe. I'd like to get into a physical theater program out there. But for the meantime, I'm just enjoying myself in New Orleans, trying to get as involved as possible into the performance scene there. I'm doing art direction for my friend is putting together this web series. So that's coming up as soon as I get back. And from there, there's a few stage pieces that I'm interested in auditioning for, so...
Okay, so you've been in New Orleans a couple of years now. Mm-hmm. I mean, you seem to really seems to be really a place that you thrive. What is it about
Definitely.
It that you really that really makes you want to make that your home?
Well, a lot of things. I mean, there's definitely a palpable sense of magic and community there, and you know, even from just the wildness of the tropical flora and fauna is, you know, automatically this magnet for, it's almost, it creates this rich soil of possibilities for creative experimentation. And it really is a playground for artists to experiment in ways that maybe they hadn't thought possible.
You know, I think people around here maybe think of it as a convention town, a place where you go wild and drinking on Bourbon Street, but you know, what you're a part of is totally different from that scene.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it is, we like to party and we like to let the good times roll, as they say, but it's definitely a lot more than that. And you know, even the spiritual side to Mardi Gras is something that I've really come to appreciate and gravitate towards. And in my mind, the parade is one of the most perfect art forms. It brings a community together and allows people to express themselves in as many different ways as possible in this like loose style of collaboration that to me is just magnificently beautiful.
Well, great. Well, great. Now, I also wanted to ask you about the thing you told me. One of the things you're doing on a regular basis is a way to make a living down there is tarot reading. Tell me about that.
Well, so I've been studying tarot for about 6 years now. It started when I started working on my feature film. That was my senior thesis project at the Evergreen State College. Which, by the way, it's available online. It's called Welcome O Life. You can find it at vimeo.com/NikeReading/WelcomeOLife. And basically, to me, tarot is a concrete tool for exploring psychology. And I don't consider myself a soothsayer or a prophet by any means. I'm definitely a student of the tarot, and I think of it as a language composed of symbols, just as all languages are, rather. Mm-hmm. But with the tarot, basically, we have 78 cards, and in my mind, those represent 78 different possible coordinations within your life, mind, body, spirit, etc. And so when you spread them out, you select a few of them, and it's really a tool to highlight a few aspects of your current reality or what's on your mind that maybe you hadn't thought about in connection with each other. It's a tool for bringing seemingly disconnected aspects of your life together in a constellation to help think about it in concrete ways. The concrete comes through the image.
Okay, so you do this like on the street in New Orleans, and I mean, I know if anybody's been there, that there's all kinds of people on the street peddling and trying to get you to do something or buy something. I'm just interested in what the experience would be like if I walk up to you on the street and you offer me the opportunity to get a tarot reading.
Well, first...
Well, what am I going to find out, I guess, is what I want to know.
You'll find out what you already know, but what you needed someone else to tell you about.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And you were telling me a lot of times it pertains to love life?
Oh, sure. Well, I mean, it's the most mysterious aspect of most people's lives, so a lot of people want to know about it. And it also offers up the hardest answers, you know, the parts of your life that maybe you don't really want to know about. I think people come to tarot for answers that they already know, but they don't want to accept.
Or admit. I understand. Yeah. Well, love life. People are interested. What about yours, Nick? You know, last year you had a different situation than you have this year.
I'm going to have to go off the record for that one.
Well, that's there's the son talking to the parent. It's like Luke, when I ask him about his, he doesn't want to talk about it. But
well, we've chatted, but you know, certain things don't belong on the airwaves.
All right, so you're here for Christmas in Louisville, and I guess you must have some fond memories of Louisville. What are some of the kind of things you liked to do when you were here?
I liked spending all day in Cherokee Park with all my best friends and hanging out. And the summers here were so paradisical. And, you know, in New Orleans, it really is sort of upside downtown, because really the winters there are amazing, and carnival season is just about to start, and you know, I'm getting really excited about that. But the summers, everyone leaves, and you're kind of you get a tighter community during the summer in New Orleans, because it is so oppressively hot, and you know, people don't really want to leave the house. So it's definitely a different scene, you know. But I do miss the summers in Louisville.
Okay, well, certainly you're welcome back anytime, and we hope you do visit some. But there's a possibility, I guess, you're looking at some at something in Italy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Briefly, what's that about?
Well, there's it's basically a clown school on the graduate level that I'm looking at. And, yeah, I have an audition coming up for them, so... You know, I'm hoping. I don't want to jinx myself.
Yeah,
by saying too much. But
auditions are just that. It's an opportunity. So I hope you do well with that, and best of luck to you.
Thank you.
And we'll look forward. And the last thing I want to ask you about, you know, you were telling me you've sort of changed your persona and your name, mm-hmm. right? And tell me what not, and, you know, you just basically changed from Nick to Nike. What's that about?
Well. It's about a lot of things. I mean, my birth name, Nicholas, has Nike embedded into it already. It comes from the Greek name Nikolaos, which is a Greek portmanteau of Nike and Laos. It roughly translates to victory of the people. But also, of course, Nike is a goddess and is means more than just the abstract concept of victory. And so I guess in my life I'm trying to embody both, you know, like personal victory and then also the goddess ideas of femininity and embracing what seems like the coming shifts in our culture and in our times towards a more embracing and in loving reality.
Well, there you go. Well, it makes perfect sense to me, Nick. I tell you.
Beautiful.
It's... You certainly have grown into lead an interesting life in New Orleans. Very proud of you, and hope you come back more often.
Mm, yeah, we'll see.
All right. We'll be right back with more of the Rusty Satellite Show. All right, my son, Nick is safely back in New Orleans now, enjoying what is more pleasant weather than we're having here, and very proud of him. I'll keep you updated on how. Nick, or Nike, as I'm trying to get used to calling him, his preferred name, is doing down there. And I hope you enjoyed our conversation. It's really fun for me to talk with Nick for the show. And so anyway, that's all we got for this edition of the Rusty Satellite Show, the home of the most interesting people in the Ville. I hope you'll keep tuning in, keep downloading, tell your friends, all that stuff. The website, rustysatelliteshow.com, is where you can find pictures of all our guests, including Nick and Denny Humphrey. And it's just really fun discovering all these interesting people in my hometown, Louisville, Kentucky, and talking to them every week. I hope you'll become a regular follower of the show. I want to give thanks to my sponsor, Passport Health Plans, and my producer, Dan Vonderheide, as we get going in 2015, ready for another great year of the Rusty Satellite Show.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host, Rick Redding. Next week, Rick will be right back here on Louisville.am with another stellar lineup of great guests. You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. He's on Twitter, too, @RickyRedding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to louisvilleky.com, the pulse of the city.
Robbing and shooting and raping.
running out flames into buildings every time I talk.